And we want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. I want to read verse 31 through 34. And then we're going to bring a message, and there's a lot of things, and these are things that are heavy on my heart tonight. I have a lot of time to think and a lot of time to dig the Word and study things, and I found out it's just the things on the surface that are the deep things for me sometimes that I forget and do me more good, things that I just overlook. And you know, we can dig deep in the Word of God, and that's good. We need to learn all we can. But it's the things that's on the surface sometimes that we miss, the little simple things that we overlook. And so I pray tonight God might help us with that. Verse 31, stand please. Verse 31, chapter 22, the book of Luke. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants you, he says, and he wants to sift you. Brother, when you're put through the sift, I'll guarantee you right now, it gets all the dross and everything else out. But the devil, when he puts you in his sift, he sifts out the good qualities and leaves you with nothing. Verse 32 said, but I have prayed for thee, thank God for that, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Did you know tonight here that Peter didn't know what was going on? He's not understanding that, and because here's what he said in verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I'll go to jail with you and I'll die with you. Big statements, isn't it? Verse 34 said, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice, that's three times, deny that thou knowest me. You can be seated. I want to look at this tonight, and as pastoring down through the years, I've experienced a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. And I found out from one congregation to another congregation, from one church to another church, to one group of people, to another group of people, people are just about the same. You go in one church and people have a certain problem. You go to another church and they'll have the same problem. It's just different people. But we've got the same devil and we've got the same God. We've got the same Bible. We've got the same Spirit. And all those intermingle and work together. But there's three things tonight I was sitting thinking about. When I get ready to leave this world, and I'm not ready yet, God may be ready for me, but I ain't ready yet. He ain't told me. And I may have a little while left, and I may not. But when I leave this world, there's three things I want to talk about tonight that I don't want to ever see happen in my life. I've had all of them to a certain degree. And I want to talk about tonight, I don't want to, give in to them. And in other words, when I die, I want to die right. Now, I know I'm saved. I ain't worried about where I'm going to go when I get out of here. I've been saved by the grace of God. The blood's been applied. Heaven's my home. And I know I'm born in the family of God. Jesus is mine and I'm His. I'm holy property. I'm heavenly property. And I'm a going somewhere. I'm a nothing headed somewhere. So I give God the glory for all that. But in the course of time, these three things I've seen not only myself face it, but the church. And so I'm not only praying for me tonight, but I pray for you. And I seek the face of God on your behalf that none of these three things happen. I could list you a whole bunch more that's in that, but I'll never be able to cover these three. The first thing I want to talk about tonight, and I just use this as a scripture to start with, and we'll see the ending of it in a minute. But the first thing I want to talk about is I don't want to die, and people looking at me in the coffin and say, he used to preach. He used to teach. He used to live right. He used to do right. And somehow in his latter days, he quit. One is what I want to talk about. I don't want to drift away from God. There's a danger of drifting. I'll give you an illustration, an example of it. It's all the Old Testament, if you will. And it deals with the Jews and the nation of Israel. Israel constantly drifted away from God. He'd gather them back in and they'd drift back out. He'd gather them back in, they'd drift back out. He'd gather them back in and they'd drift back out. You know that, don't you? They'd get right with God, and then God, would bury some of their loved ones, and they'd get right with God, and the next thing you know, that same crowd would be out there doing the same thing that their foreparents done. Down through the years, I've watched some seem to get in, get close, get where they needed to be with God, and everything on their mind was the Lord Jesus, and they tried to serve God. I've watched them sit on the front row, and a few months later moved to the second row, third row, fourth row. I've watched them move two or three times, end up on the back row, and after you get the back row, there ain't nowhere to go but out. Unless you've got some stickability like Brother Jim. He's been on that back row for years and years. Amen. But I say to you tonight, I've watched them shout a while and quit shouting. I watched them teach a while and quit teaching. I watched them preach a while and quit preaching. I watched them go to church and no longer go to church. Some little something comes up in the church and they get their feathers all in a wad, and here they go down the road somewhere else, or they don't even go anywhere else. I know people right now tonight that wouldn't darken the door of a church that 25 years ago you couldn't keep them out of church. Something happened, and I'm not going to try to judge them. I just don't want that to happen to me. Amen. And I'm afraid we're in a dangerous situation tonight in our country that if we're not careful, we can get in that position. Just like the young man said to me this morning. Wait a minute, young man. Actually, he's 2 or 3 years older than I am. And he said to me, I hope we never start back up on Wednesday night again. And yet, we sit there and talked about the Lord and the goodness of God. Isn't that amazing? We can talk a good talk and not walk a good walk. Brother, I want to get the place that I want to see this. Let me tell you, when you're drifting, first of all, when you're drifting away from God, it's because you're not anchored. I'll assure you one thing tonight, you'll never walk out on God if you're ever anchored in Him like you ought to be. If His Son is number one in your heart, if His Word is number one in your heart, and if His blood has cleansed you and flowing in your spiritual veins, you will never want to get away from Him. Amen. Your mind might think it, the devil might desire, the devil might try, but you'll never get away from Him. Right. I said you'll never get away from Him. You may even try at a service or two or a time or two. And brother, you won't feel comfortable. If you can go home tonight and stay away from the church house and you can be comfortable with that, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. Lord have mercy. I ain't going to have enough time tonight. But let me give you something. The reason you drift to start with is because you're not anchored. You get anchored in the Word of God. That's what happens to a boat. You put it out in the water and just let it sit there and don't tie it down or don't put an anchor on it. Guess what it's going to do? What will it do? What? Drift. So you got to be anchored. Drifting requires no effort on your part. You don't have to drift. Matter of fact, drifting is something that is an unconscious process. You can be unaware of it. Not even know that you're drifting. Number three, it's a slow and gradual process. I mean, if it started down the down the lake and on the other side and it's going 40 miles an hour, you'd know right quickly something's wrong. But the thing is, it just moves little inch by inch. And after a while, you're too far out. Drifting is caused by the elements in the water, especially wind. And I say drifting tonight, spiritually speaking, will be caused by the elements of the world. Whatever the devil puts in front of you and gets your attention, that's the things that cause you to drift. And while those things are on your mind, guess what's happening? Your boat's getting away from the shore. And after a while, it'll get away from the shore. And after the shore, you don't even know where you are. When you can't see the shoreline on no side and you're still drifting, you don't know if you don't have a compass. You don't know where you are. And you lose sight. And that happens spiritually speaking today. Always goes downstream if it's in a river or something. You never find somebody drifting upstream. Amen. And as it goes downstream, it's speed increases. The more that you begin to drift from God, the faster you get away from God and the quicker. That's the reason, you know, one or two services you miss at the house of God, that will trouble you. Three or four services will trouble you. Five or six will trouble you. But you know yourself, when you stay out a month at the house of God, brother, it gets to a place you have to make yourself to a certain extent go back. Oh yeah, you want to go. But you're not as excited about it as you used to be. Why? We've drifted. Amen. Then when you're drifting, you're dangerous to others. You take a boat that's drifting and another ship come by, it can run into them because it's drifting. I've seen parents do this. They've got drifted away from God. And then after their kids have got so old and they have messed up and they've been drifting in their lives now, they try to put a check on their kids and they can't do that anymore. They've drifted too far away from the shoreline. And eventually, drifting causes shipwreck. And your boat splatters against something else. Now I want to use this as a spiritual thing tonight. When it comes to the end of the road, and you're looking at my cold body, I don't want you to say, and I don't want to have to say this over you either. I don't want you or me to have to say it to any of us in this building. They used to be right. There's a fella. I've got some gas. I've used this illustration several times down through the years. I was getting some gas one morning and one of the deacons had the little station there, little old store, little grocery store. You know how they used to have little country stores. And there's a fella pulled out as I was coming in. And he said, "Preacher, I wish you'd have got here just a minute or two earlier. I'd have introduced to you this man." And I said, "Who was he?" He said, "He's the man." He called his name. He said, "He owns the beer joint right down here." And there's a beer joint in that little community when I went there to that church. And I said, "Well, I don't care too much about knowing him. I can't." He said, "Well, but he's a good feller. Now, you can tell me all you want to that they got a beer joint and they're good fellers. There's something wrong." Of course, we're living in a society now when all that stuff's acceptable. Now, I feel like anywhere I go, I'm going into a beer joint. My brother reminded me of something Monday, and I'll finish this story up in a minute. My brother reminded me of something Monday. I used to, when I first got my license, my driver's license, I mean, after that driver's ed, I got them license. I did run a stop sign in a straight shift car because I was on a hill. And I thought I'd lost, I wasn't going to get my license because the trooper said, "What'd that sign say?" I started to be a smartick and said, "I didn't hear it say nothing." But I knowed better than that. And he said, it said stop, and that's what it means. Said, "You're going to wake up dead one of these days." That's about the way he said it, too. Now, I'm trying to scratch my heart out of my pants pocket. I mean, I done knowed I lost my license and wouldn't get them.
And he went out there and he said, I'm going to give you a license because I know good and well you were scared to death. I said, I was out of it. I told him that. I mean, I was a good driver until I went and got my license that day. Safe driver. But for somebody sitting in there with a pistol on his side and law, you know, and I've been talking. But anyhow, I got my license. Well, I was driving this man called C.M. Miller. And he had a farm over in Hiawassee where he had pecans and walnut trees. And I'd have to take him over there one time a week. And he had an old four-wheel drive Chevrolet pickup and drove like a wagon. And I took him over there and left that place and come back. I had forgotten this till my brother reminded me. He went with us that day. He's 2 years younger than I am. And we're coming back down, Mr. Miller, he couldn't see good. And he said, stop right down here at this station, this little store right here, I'm going to get something. I said, all right. I mean, he's a boss. Pay me 50 cents an hour. I mean, I'm high quality stuff. I pull in there. He says, I want you to run in there and get me some kind of beer. I don't know what it was. And I'm looking at him. I bet that'd be parked in the parking lot. And I looked at him. I said, my daddy wouldn't like that. My daddy wouldn't allow that. He said, well, you don't have to tell Louie. That's my daddy's name. He said, and I said, but he'll find out. I mean, boy, I know my daddy knowed everything. And he said, well, you don't have to tell him. I said, he'll ask me, and I ain't going to lie to him. And then he's going to say to you, Mr. Miller, how come you put my son in a position like that, and you're going to have to answer questions? He said, I'll go get it myself. He did. He went and got it and said, if I'd have had my time going knowing what I know now, I didn't know that then. I was stupid. But you know what? I wouldn't even have took him home. I'd have said, we're not going to ride like this. You'll have to call somebody else to come get you. That's his vehicle. And I said, my brother said, I was sitting back there and said, I'm saying, woo. I'm telling you, he said, I said, yeah, I remember it now, but I'd forgotten it. That's been years. Well, just to make the story short, the man said to me, he said, the man that had the beer joint down here, he used to teach Sunday school and shout and sing and praise God. I said, what happened to him? He said, he just backslid. Amen. That's what drifting will do if you're even saved. Probably never born again. And I looked at him and I said, I don't want to meet him. No way. I'm praying the beer joint burned down. It did. I thought they was going to come check me out. Amen. But I didn't burn it. It burned down. Drifting will get you to a place where you don't want to be. Number one, I don't want to go out of here drifting away from God. Number two, I don't want to not only drift, but I don't want to delay what God wants me to do. I don't want to do any delaying on the Word of God. Don't want to do no drifting, but I don't want to do no delaying. I'll give you an illustration of that. Jonah. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I think, Lord, you meant to say, where'd he go? Where? Y'all ain't loud enough. Tarshish. He said, I think what you want me to do is really go to Tarshish. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them down there the things of God. There's 120,000 of them can't tell the right hand from the left hand. They need to be told. It's a Gentile city. And Jonah said, I don't think I wanted that job. So he paid the fare and got him a ship. And you know the story, and we won't stay there long. But he got him a ship and a trip and went to sleep. And guess what? The storm come up and they found out Jonah was the culprit. The reason the storm is there. By the way, you get to delaying on God and some storms will come up in your life. your world's upside down tonight, you don't know what in the world's going on, you better stop right then and quickly get on your knees and find out, Lord, what's the problem here? Am I the problem or is there something else you're trying to show me? When my life gets to running rough, I get to trying to talk to God. And I'm saying, Lord, is everything fine? If it ain't, show me where I need to be. You see, when I get to the end of the road and you're viewing my body, I don't want you to look over and say, well, he had a bad problem of delaying when God asked him to do something. I want to be Johnny on the spot. I don't know what God wants me for me tomorrow. I'm not even concerned about tomorrow. I'm still concerned about today. Amen. Tomorrow will take care of itself and God will show me again. You see, some of y'all every once in a while get down, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to do this? And I've learned in recent days, and well, that's been for years really, first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, Lord, what will you have me do today? That's the best time to do it, isn't it? I mean, that's the best time to ask God. And it's one thing that I always try to ask God when I get up in the morning every day. Lord, somehow today make my paths cross with somebody that I can talk to about the Lord. Lord, I ain't planning on going nowhere today, but if I do, Amen. Give me somebody to talk to. I prayed that this morning and got over there to the restaurant, and that's what that feller told me. Matter of fact, this morning I was a little late. Actually, I slept a little late this morning. Y'all won't crucify me for that, will you? I slept at 7:30 this morning. I slept late. And I got up and went to get my breakfast. I was a little later than normal. I didn't see the same crowd I'd been seeing. And you know why? Because the other feller slept late and God let me stay in because he wanted me to hear that. And God wants us, he knows how to cross paths with us. Just went to the hardware store. I don't go to the hardware store much, but I went to the hardware store the other day. And when I walked in, there was Brother Donald Grizzle, is right up here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I said, Brother Donald, how's your wife? And he said, not doing too good. She's on hospice. I told you all that the other day. But I want to say to you, that wasn't no strange coincidence. That was the same day that young man turned around and asked me, called my name and said that he got saved. That's the same day that I had to give my birth date for to buy paint. That's not no coincidence. I was there at the right time. God knows how to. Well, I've got Bible. God said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now that'll go for you ladies too. Amen. God will order your steps if you'll let him. You just don't want him to get in your business. That's all. I want him in my business. Matter of fact, he is my business. I don't have no business outside God. Amen. Don't get in no hurry. Now listen, number two, I don't want anybody to say he delayed. Sometimes you might think I dragged my feet. I'm waiting on God. And sometimes I do delay. And sometimes you do too. And sometimes God speaks and he has to speak again. And he spoke to Jonah the second time. And when God spoke the second time, he spoke a little louder. And Jonah said, yes, sir, I'm going. 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly can change your mind about a lot of things. And for the third one tonight, and I could preach on either one of these a long time. But for the third one tonight, I don't want to get the place that I drift. I have a fear of drifting like the Jewish race did. I have a fear of delaying like Jonah did. But I also have a fear of denying the Lord like Peter did. Oh, I know tonight
I could ask everyone, I ain't going to deny the Lord. I'll never deny the Lord. Can I ask you where Peter was
when he told the Lord that? Standing in the presence of Jesus. He wasn't backslid. Matter of fact, he probably was, but according to what we're looking at, he was. You know what he's doing? He is doing the work of the Lord. He was a disciple. Walking with the Lord every day. And he said, Lord, I'll not forsake you. What is it he said? He said, over there he said, I will go with thee both into prison and to death. And the Lord said, well, the old rooster ain't gonna crow. I mean, three times when he crows, you're gonna have denied me three times. I was looking for my scripture over here. Matthew chapter 26. It's right over there in the same chapter here in Luke. But Luke don't give the whole details that Matthew does. He's a little more plain with it. Now remember, this is a child of God. This is a disciple. A well-known person in his day. And guess what happened? As we look at this thing tonight, we want to look at chapter 26 and go down to verse number 69. They've done come and got the Lord. They took him out of the garden. Peter's done chopped off an ear. The Lord's done made good with that. And now it said in verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. She didn't ask a question. She made a statement. She knew what she was talking about, didn't she? But he denied. You said, preacher, I'll never deny. Don't tell me that. If you say that, you ought to say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to deny. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou say. I don't even know what you're talking about. Typical lines of a backslidden Baptist. I don't know nothing about that. You've been told that before. You've told that before. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Now we got two, says that. Two witnesses. The mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word to be established. The Bible said in verse number 72, and again he denied with an oath. Then he lied, yeah. I do not know the man. Reckon you'd ever do that? Let me ask you this. Are you capable of doing it? You reckon the flesh could ever get weak enough that you would? You say, not me. Then you need to wake up tonight. I don't want you to look at my cold body and said, he denied the Lord. I don't want my church members, I don't want any of y'all, if I'm around when you're gone, I don't want to look at you and say, hey, they denied the Lord. I could, and this would make a good message, more ways to deny the Lord than with your lips. Verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth you or thee. See, you talk different. Then notice verse 74. Then began he to curse.
and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Just like God said it would. Just like the Lord told him it would. I mean, he started using some foul language.
You say, preacher, I'd never do that. You really believe that? You really believe tonight that you're not capable of doing that?
Remember who this is. This is not the town drunk saying that. This is not an ungodly, unholy, lost man. This is a disciple born again, saved by the grace of God. And you say, I can't do that and I wouldn't do that. You better take note.
We'll say to you tonight, I fear those things. Matter of fact, I believe that's enough to say, and all the other preaching probably wouldn't do no more good than what I've already done. But are you with me tonight? These are things that I fear. And I need God's hand on me. Yes, sir, I don't need to drift. I don't need to delay. And I certainly don't need to deny the Lord Jesus. But there's a danger of all of us in this building doing any one of those, any two of those, or all three of those. And I'm saying tonight, and I don't care what you do, this is your business, I just preach it. I'm telling you tonight what I fear. I don't want that said of me. There's a lot of things they can say and be right with, but I don't want that to be said. That I denied, delayed, and drifted. Heads bowed. I want to be Johnny on the spot. The Lord says, go to Nineveh. I want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to delay. I don't want to drift. I want to keep my soul saturated in the Scriptures. I want to keep my mind on spiritual things. I want to keep my heart thinking on heavenly things day in and day out. I want in a spiritual atmosphere. And I certainly don't want to deny Him. I want to lift Him and exalt Him. Let's stand.